All right, what is going on, guys? Welcome back to another post game here on Ranger Central. I apologize for all the technical difficulties lately, as like I've been saying for the past few episodes, I've had issues with my computer and everything, and I'm first setting everything up. For all I know, you guys can't even hear me right now, or for all I know, my mic quality is garbage. But either way, we're going to roll with it until the chat tells me otherwise if I'm wrong about it. But man, brutal, another brutal game as they lose to the Carolina Hurricanes 4-0. Just complete and utter garbage from this team. And this is why there were fans, including myself, that were skeptical despite the point streak. So they did beat some good teams during the point streak. I don't want to take away the win against Vegas. And I mean, that was really the best team probably and the only quality team I would argue that they beat during that win streak and point streak. But this is why there was skepticism between the fact that the top six was underachieving significantly, and it was only a matter of when, not if, Sam Carrick's production was going to slow down. And you're relying way too much on the bottom six scoring. The defense isn't chipping in anything offensively. You can't score on a breakaway with these guys because the top six is just garbage. You have Chris Kreider missing wide open net opportunities. And this is where we are, and it's beyond annoying how we're here, considering the fact that you think that this team was gaining progress potentially into getting a playoff spot. And it got to the point where I was like, I don't know how the hell they're going to do it, but I think they're going to make the playoffs. That's where it got to, because I felt Igor Shesterkin's slump was ending. And I felt this team, you know what? Even though the bottom six is the one scoring right now, you got to think the top six is going to show up at some point. But they've been terrible lately. They've been terrible. And it's hard to sit here and defend it when, one, you need every single point you could get this time of year. And two, again, the top six, they need to be better. They need to be way better, and they just have not been. Before we jump into everything, though, please be sure to leave a like on your way into the post-game stream. Subscribe if you guys are new to the channel. Turn on your notifications so you know when I upload or go live here on Ranger Central. It's just really infuriating, these losses. Really is. And this is why, again, during the point streak and when they're winning, I had questions of, all right, when is the top six going to show up, though? Because, you know, they're getting the points, they're winning games. Top six got to show up. And they're getting nothing from them. Instead, it's Will Cooley showing up. It's Arthur Kaliev, Edstrom, Carrick, even Matt Rempe right now. Where the hell is Mika? Trocheck was terrible tonight. Panarin, don't get me started on him, and Lafreniere. Those two, in their own end, are just... it's a nightmare watching those two. And Chris Kreider, too. Forget the open net opportunity. Where's the effort in the D zone? And Steve Valiquette, I'm glad he was calling them out for the fact that these guys need to get benched, but they were not benched at all, because that's just the way it goes. When your best defenseman tonight was probably Juro Vaakanainen, you're not going to win that game. Not going to win that game when your best defenseman is Juro Vaakanainen and your best forward group was the fourth line. I want to pull up this tweet that I saw during the game. And it really paints the picture of what, I mean, there's plenty of problems right now here, but like one of the biggest problems for this season, and this from Nick Zarius, 2022-23. Listen to the point totals for these players. Artemi Panarin, 120. Trocheck, 77. Kreider, 75. Zibanejad, 72. Their 82-game pace this season, all these players, Panarin, 91 points. Trocheck, 54. Zibanejad, 49. Chris Kreider, 34. if that doesn't make you want to stab your eyeballs and vomit all over the screen, whatever you're watching this on, or if you're listening to the audio, maybe you got some puke on your windshield from listening to me in the car. What the hell is going on? Because you have Artemi Panarin, who just is gifting goals right now. He's gifting goals. Just throws a grenade. And you know what the worst part, too, about that grenade that he had in the neutral zone? He wasn't even giving a competent effort on the back check there. And he's lost. He's lost on the back check. What the hell is Lafreniere doing there? And you let Svechnikov just get right in the slot to score. That can't happen. That just can't. And then the second goal, you're just getting caught in a line change. That can't happen either. And that was also, I believe, after Trocheck had that breakaway opportunity, which he passed on. Because for whatever reason, this team, they just pass on breakaway opportunities. And then you have the Aho goal, where Chris Kreider throws a grenade himself. Adam Fox just gets beat cleanly. Ryan Lindgren, who might have had one of the worst games I've seen him play. And that's saying a lot considering how poor he is, because he almost just killed Igor Shesterkin by throwing Svechnikov into him earlier. He was falling on his ass on the first goal, taking stupid penalties. He was terrible tonight. And then that goal too, just terrible. And then the last goal really upset me the most, because this just exemplified why people are against paying Keandre Miller. This entire shift defined why people don't want to pay him, with the peaks and valleys, because the valleys are so low. Because first he coughs the puck up, and then, okay, you have enough time to get back. Everyone's got time to get back and get well positioned. Will Borgen is just stick checking the world here on Jordan Staal. And then it ends up being Martinook behind the net, which Mika just gets completely dummied by him. And Keandre Miller, instead of staying on Seth Jarvis right in front of the net in the slot, he decides to chase behind the net where there was no shooting threat at all. At least Seth Jarvis wide open in front of the net. Too many lapses tonight. Way too many. And then you have Laviolette, who throws the lines in a blender, despite them actually creating some chances early in this game. I mean, granted, a lot of them, it's sad because they were either missing the net or they just, which is just even, I don't know what's more embarrassing, the fact that they're missing the net or fanning on opportunities. I don't know what was the most embarrassing, but either way, they're fanning on their opportunities or missing the net, whatever it was. They were at least getting some decent opportunities here and there. Not necessarily the top six, but either way, there were opportunities. And then he throws the lines in a blender in the third period. Nothing. The Hurricanes play perfect. Just, they exemplified what a perfect shutdown third period was tonight. That's what they showed. They're getting pucks in deep, working on the forecheck, wearing you down, clogging the neutral zone, not giving you a second, an inch, any space. And the same thing happened with the penalty kill for them towards the end of the game. The power play was terrible today. And Chris Kreider, what does he do on the power play? I yet again am finding myself asking this. What does he do on the power play? He's just standing along the side of the net, not deflecting pucks, because no one's going to try to deflect the puck there. He's not getting in front. He's just there. The power play was just way too sloppy tonight. Just an ugly game. And these are the reasons why there are people that still want to sell right now at the deadline. This is why, as well, I never wavered from that feeling. And it's hard to argue when, you know, these past two games really would have been telling if they came away with 2 points in both of them. But you walk away with zero, especially after you should have got a point last game. You walk away with zero. You're falling behind. You're behind teams. Way too many teams. You know, it's hard to argue that this team's going to make it when they keep doing this to themselves, and especially against quality opponents that they need to be beating to at least show any sort of worth. I don't get it. I don't. And, you know, it doesn't get easier, too, because they play teams like Boston. They play teams like Vegas coming up, Boston again. Columbus is on the schedule, which I never thought in a billion years I'd be saying that's a tough game coming up on the schedule, but that's where we are. And then you got the Four Nations break. And what I fear happening still, and this was my fear when the point streak was going on, what I fear happening is this team is going to claw themselves into a position to where they're just on the outside looking in come the deadline. They're going to buy and think that they could get in, and they're either going to fall just short or get in and be an early exit. And the reason that I fear that is because of the fact that you're not winning in the playoffs when your top six looks like this. Maybe Igor wins you around, but where are you going? Where are you going when Lafreniere has been this terrible? Where are you going when Panarin's been this terrible? Where are you going with these guys? And then the nights where Igor does struggle, it really makes the issues even more glaring with the top six. I don't get it. Really don't. It's just such a roller coaster this season that I can't take, man. I really can't take. Because we talk about Keandre Miller with peaks and valleys. This team, peaks and valleys. And I mean, this comment too. Yeah, you go down 1-0 within the first few minutes of the game. You're chasing the entire night. A lot of this for me, I could look at a lot of different ways to point the blame here. But for me, this really comes down to the fact that the top six has just been abysmal all season long, and it's continuing. And like I said, even when they were winning games, you can go back to previous live streams, I was saying, all right, the top six, though, I'd like to see them start to show up. They're winning games. Top six got to show up. And it just has not been that way. Not at all. And they're doing literally the opposite of it. I mean, they are costing this team at this point because it's just terrible mistakes. I mean, how many east-west passes did we watch that Panarin line make tonight? Like, Trocheck just going for the drop pass there when he's got to shoot. Just, it highlights it all. And I see some people in the chat, and I agree Laviolette deserves blame. I'm not taking away blame, but I can't blame him entirely when this is what the top six is, and this is why they've not got over the hump. This is exactly why. It's what Brody's saying. Your team is flawed when your best player is supposed to be the goalie. 100%. And this too. Zero accountability. That's the problem. This isn't just it's game 50 in the regular season thing. It's because when I look at the team on the other end of the ice, who they could see in the postseason if they get there, and I watch them lay an egg like this, especially the top six, where are you going? Where do you expect to go in the playoffs? And it goes to the question that I asked last live stream. Do you realistically think, with Panarin and Zibanejad as your top two players, or forwards, I should say, do you think you're going anywhere? It's nights like this where you look at it and it's like, no. No. Because against the better teams, this is what happens with them. And sometimes they'll find ways to beat them because Igor will stand on his head or because the fourth line will chip in some goals. But tonight just exemplified further a ongoing problem from the past 4 to 5 years. That's what it comes down to. Or six, maybe even at this point. I'm going to get to the chat, though. Again, leave a like if you haven't subscribed. Turn on your notifications and all that stuff. If you're listening to the audio version, which if you didn't know, you could do that. If you're looking to listen to me on the go, it's a little bit more convenient to pull up Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever your podcasting platform is. And you could go ahead and listen to me there. So give a rating and review there. And thank you for the $5, Dorkalis. I think I'm saying it right. Thank you for the $5, though. You'd think with time would come wisdom, but not with the score. These old heads are effectively playing peewee hockey with all their mental mistakes. 1,000,000%. 1,000,000%. It's all up here. It's all up there. And I don't know why it is this way, but and it's infuriating too, because I thought with 2022 getting to the conference finals, like first year back in the playoffs with this group, I thought, man, something maybe is different about them. And then they lose to New Jersey the year after. You start to question things. But I walked into that New Jersey series thinking there was no shot in hell New Jersey was beating them, because I thought that team had stones, considering, again, you look in hindsight the way they got to that conference finals. But either way, I went into that New Jersey series feeling confident because I felt, you know, this group, they got to the conference finals, even though, again, a lot of it was because of Igor. They found a way to get there. There was no way they were letting the New Jersey Devils beat them in 2023. Then they did, and that's where I had my questions first arise with this group. Then you get to 2024, where there were some warning signs, but you bring in Laviolette, October, November look fucking awesome. They slump a bit. You get to January, February, where, like I said, where they slumped, and then they started to play a bit better. Went into the playoffs, they started 7-0, and I thought, maybe I'm wrong. And no, and then it's the same issues with the core guys. Same exact issues. They just don't get it done against the top opponents. And that, like I said, this is why when they're winning, had their point streak. Man, I tried pumping the tires a bit, but I again, with the way the top six was playing during that streak, it was hard to, because it just worried me. This is where we are. And I feel this too. I mean, I do. There were a couple of games in there, though, where I can't even like pretend and say they didn't dominate. Like, that Ottawa game was their best game of the season. So, but then you also did have a couple of cracks there, because again, the top six, where are they? And yeah, I mean, this is why too. Like, it's hard when people ask me if I'm bought back in. When people were asking me during the streak if I'm bought back in, that's why I couldn't answer it. It's exactly why I couldn't answer if I was. Am I the only one who would not blink twice at including Lafreniere in the deal for Pettersson? I've been there, man. I've been there. And I wouldn't be against moving him for a more proven player, but someone I've stood on this stance. If you're moving Lafreniere, it has to be someone that's still so relatively young like Pettersson is. And you package him to get, you're packaging him to get a better player. As I said, we needed to see more during the point streak, and the more was beating, or at least keeping up with the Canes and Avs. The Canes played with their food tonight. I was saying that within minutes of the game they were, yeah. I literally was saying on the couch, they're playing with their food minutes into the game. And exactly, if they walked away with 2 points against Carolina and Colorado and look good, especially while doing it, that would have changed a lot. But tonight, if anything, they just showed me what I said all season, which is they're beating the bad teams. They're struggling. They can't beat the good teams. And that evens you out to like a second wildcard team or just on the outside looking in. And there were a couple of solid wins there, though, at least against the bad teams. And I thought, maybe. I was thinking at least a bit. I'm not going to say I was fully there, because I can't get there at all. But I was thinking maybe a bit. All right. Maybe there's a chance. But there's also clearly flaws with the roster. So I thought, maybe. But I don't see it. And then the past two games, I mean, it's kind of like you're going out, you throw it out the window. And this too, I mean, I agree. The first two, this is happening every live stream now with my camera. Oh my goodness. It's getting annoying. I apologize, guys. Let me fix it. But I will talk as I'm fixing it. But yeah. I agree. I don't think they were that bad. I don't. I thought the same as you, that it was just the mental mistakes again that hurt them. 1,000,000%. Hopefully, because I can't deal with another heartbreak there, Jimmy. I cannot tell you that right now, especially with how much my teams aggravate me. Sorry, I was trying to fix something with my camera just now. I'll have to do that off stream. I was trying to fix something there as I still messed it up. I apologize. There we go. Sorry about that, guys. I was trying to fix it, but forgot. I have the capture set up and then it messes with everything. That's just the way it is. But yeah, I don't know. Gotta stop giving up goals within the first minute or two. Yeah. Couldn't agree more there. We could blame the players all we want, but ultimately they were chosen by the front office to be the players to lead this team forward. The front office sucks. I mean, yeah, they do suck as much as the coaching. Yeah, 1,000,000%. I mean, that's why I always said, too, during the point streak, I had no regrets of what I said during the rough patches here. All right, guys, I'm going to wrap up the live stream here. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and watching. Leave a like if you enjoyed. Subscribe if you guys are new to the channel. Turn on your notifications so you know when I upload or go live next. And I'll see you guys in the next one.